This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And we had lots to talk about today. We invite your phone calls. Come directly into the doctor's office. I extend a personal invitation to you. 877-726-TALK. That's 877-726-8255 for questions related to medicine, to overall health, and specifically nutrition, supplements, whatever's on your mind. Call us, 877-726-TALK. And lots to talk about today, including your phone calls and questions. Well, what's in the news this week? Harvey Weinstein is in the news, and we're going to talk a little bit about Harvey Weinstein from a medical perspective. Okay, what's going on in terms of psychiatric diagnoses? What are the effects of sexual harassment on people subject to sexual harassment? There's some documented medical research around that. Also, this week, I weighed in an op-ed in our newsletter about the relationship between sugar and disease and addiction, and how big sugar may soon turn into big tobacco from the standpoint of litigation and from the standpoint of government regulation, because it is precisely parallel. We've got circumstances that are aligning themselves that may make big sugar beverage manufacturers, sugar manufacturers, candy manufacturers subject to the same kinds of onslaught that have clipped the wings of the tobacco industry. And it's based on several things. First of all, we have to demonstrate harm. And harm is being demonstrated across the board in terms of the effects of sugar, not just on obesity, but on diabetes, cardiovascular disease. The sugar industry, just like the tobacco industry, undertook a campaign of deception to divert people's attention from the harmful effects of sugar and put the blame on fat, and even paid off academics in the 1950s and 1960s to emphasize research that showed that fat was bad and that sugar got a pass. And the other piece that's falling into place is that sugar, like tobacco, is highly addictive. And this is one of the things that nailed the tobacco industry, because it was demonstrated that while tobacco executives raised their right hands and swore before congressional testimony that they didn't believe that their products were harmful or addictive, that actually in their files, in their research, their scientists had demonstrated that tobacco was both addictive and harmful, and that in effect cigarettes were a delivery system for something highly dangerous and addictive that promoted getting people hooked, and they knowingly did so. Well, the same could be said for candy, the same could be said for sugary beverages, and all manner of foods to which we add superfluous ingredients like high fructose corn syrup. They're designed to get people attracted to them, and then the harmful effects kick in. And so I'll share with you something that I didn't even include in the article that appears in our newsletter. You can find it at drhoffman.com, but you don't subscribe to our newsletter, though you're missing out, because you get great information every week from me and others who write for our newsletter. This item is from this week, Scientists reveal the relationship between sugar and yet another disorder, which is cancer. We know that there's a relationship between obesity and cancer. And what's the biggest driver of obesity in this country? Well, it's not fat. It's sugar and refined carbohydrates. And according to this research, a 9-year joint research project has led to a crucial breakthrough in cancer research. And it actually goes back well over 100 years because a scientist named Otto Warburg proposed in the early 20th century, he received a Nobel Prize for his work, that sugar was responsible for the Warburg effect, a phenomenon in which cancer cells rapidly break down sugars, stimulating tumor growth. And I'm by no means here to tell you that the way to invariably cure cancer is to go on a low-sugar diet. But a low-sugar diet could prevent a high percentage of cancers and could help to treat a high percentage of cancers. The researchers say this discovery provides evidence for a positive correlation between sugar and cancer, which may have far-reaching impacts on tailor-made diets for cancer patients. The project was started, as I said, 9 years ago in 2008. And what they discovered is that hyperactive sugar consumption by cancerous cells leads to a vicious cycle of continued stimulation of cancer development and growth. And I'm quoting, "Thus, it is able to explain the correlation between the strength of the Warburg effect and tumor aggressiveness. This link between sugar and cancer has sweeping consequences. Our results, say the researchers from Belgium, the University of Leuven, our results provide a foundation for future research in this domain, which can now be performed with much more precision and relevance to cancer in people." And, okay, if that's not yet another nail in the coffin of big sugar, I don't know what is, because we've demonstrated the relationship between sugar and the three biggest killers that afflict Americans, which are stroke, heart disease, and now cancer. And in addition to the fact that knowingly the manufacturers of sugary products have purveyed an addictive substance, they have distorted the evidence. They've health washed the use of sugar, telling us that, oh, all we need is, you know, exercise a little more, burn off some more calories. Sugar can be part of a healthy lifestyle. They've done everything they can to obscure the connection between sugar and disease. And now we have more and more evidence. And believe you me, regulators and litigators are sharpening their knives. And the executives of Big Sugar are circling the wagons because they know what's coming. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You can call us. 877-726-TALK is our number. And let's take a call from Dorothy in Hawthorne, New Jersey. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I want to ask your opinion on pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, because a friend has started going for those treatments, and she was told, you know, it would improve her circulation and her energy and help keep her bones strong, you know, among other things. And my concern is, can this PEMF therapy do all these things, or is she being misled?
Well, you know, it's something that's really in its infancy. And in fact, PEMF was promoted, it's got to be like 20, 25 years ago. I reported on it. I even interviewed one of the proponents of it for the treatment of arthritis, because it was thought that it was helpful. And in fact, some preliminary studies said it worked. And then other studies challenged that. And then the FDA came after the people who were promoting it, saying, you have no proof, and we're going to shut you down. So it's something that's been around for a long time, and it may have applicability to a variety of situations. It's actually being used experimentally in some research settings to help knit broken bones. Electromagnetic fields in something called transcranial electromagnetic therapy are used to treat depressed patients. And so there's a basis for believing that this may, you know, may work. But when it's applied, you know, willy-nilly without proper research, I'm not even sure that it's going to have benefits. I have, you know, I just grabbed some research from a pile of stuff that I have sitting on my desk as I broadcast. And it talks about electromagnetic therapy for the treatment of depression. So, you know, it's there, it's real. We're really in our early stages of understanding how to apply it. But I'm not sure, you know, whether the therapy that this person's getting is going to deliver on its promise. That's as much as I can say at this point. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating this certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And you can call us 877-726-8255. That's 877-726-TALK. And Dorothy from New Jersey called earlier about electromagnetic field therapy. And, you know, this is an emerging science. And I was telling her about a study that shows that magnetic fields can have an effect on mood. And I had time to review it during the break. Headline, Magnetic Fields to Alleviate Anxiety. This comes to us from the University of Würzburg in Germany, September 2017. It is possible to unlearn fears, and this works even better when a specific region of the brain has previously been stimulated magnetically. So this is a very, very specific application of electromagnetic field treatment. And these days, they have a novel way of treating phobias. They treat phobias with virtual reality. So, for example, if you have a phobia about heights, they will take you through a safe but potentially scary virtual reality simulation in the laboratory where they take you to progressively higher heights and get you used to them. This is a common way of treating phobias and anxiety by extinguishing your fears with progressively higher levels of simulation or experiencing. But, you know, it's a lot easier to do it in a laboratory or in a doctor's office than having them put you on a plane, you know, or skydiving or something like that, you know, because that's for real. But what they discovered is that pre-treatment with an electromagnetic field rendered people more likely to respond to the virtual reality. They say 39 participants with a pronounced fear of heights were taken to dizzying heights during two sessions using virtual reality, but the scientists stimulated the frontal lobe of some of the anxiety patients for about 20 minutes before entering the virtual world, and the others just got their virtual reality experience without the electromagnetic stimulation. And what they found is that the proper electromagnetic stimulation of the brain rendered people more likely to respond positively to the virtual reality therapy. So, you know, again, I don't know what application Dorothy's referring to. Yeah, it's got potential to heal, but, you know, putting a magnet on your head and, you know, standing on the balcony may not reduce your fear of heights. It's kind of, you know, it's doing it willy-nilly. Do not try this at home. All right. Focusing on the big story of the week, which is Harvey Weinstein. All right. All these kinds of revelations are coming out about Harvey Weinstein, all the actresses that he bedded, the casting couch, and so on, sexual harassment. And I got a story here that's apropos. Sexual harassment by colleagues may be associated with more severe depression. Okay, so they compared sexual harassment by customers versus sexual harassment by supervisors or colleagues in this study. And they found that, well, previous research has showed an increased risk of long-term sickness absence for employees exposed to sexual harassment by a colleague, supervisor, or a subordinate. But what they discovered in this study is that if clients or customers sexually harass you, it's going to put you higher on the major depression inventory, which is a way of scoring depression. But employees harassed by a colleague, supervisor, or subordinate scored even higher. And so what this says is that, you know, it's not just a victimless crime. People who are harassed on the job, whether by customers or whether by their colleagues or by their superiors, they experience real psychological consequences. They're more prone to absenteeism, to depression, and hence even higher risk of problems undermining their immune systems, making them literally sick. And so this is not, you know, it's about snowflakes complaining, the boss wanted to sleep with me. This is the real deal in terms of actual harm being inflicted on these victims. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number, 877-726-8255, is our number for questions.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our intelligent medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the intelligent medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and you can call us 877-726-8255. That's 877-726-TALK. And there are several ways to get through to us if you can call us during our broadcast. That's the number. Or alternatively, you can email your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. Radioprogram@AOL.com. That's the email address for questions that will ultimately become grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions during one of our weekly podcasts. And another way to get questions on the air is to record a question. You can simply go to our website, which is drhoffman.com. And on your PC or Mac, there's a little box on the right that you can click, and it will prompt you to ask a question, as this caller did. Let's hear from him.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. A longtime listener, probably about 30 years, and have a question for you. I've actually came down with a stomach virus about a month ago. I've now recovered, but still have a hard time straightening out my bowels. Still have watery diarrhea, not nauseous anymore, no fever, otherwise very healthy, 54 years old. I see a complementary physician, and I've been following your advice for all this time. What should I do?
Okay, well, this is a question that pertains to something that's been newly characterized. It's called post-infectious IBS, or post-infectious irritable bowel syndrome. And actually, they've come up with a new blood test, which can help to determine whether people have this condition. Although it, you can actually diagnose this based on an association between an infection, you know, food poisoning, which millions of Americans experience every year, and the onset for weeks, months, and sometimes years of IBS, which involves diarrhea and or constipation, sometimes an alternation with cramps, gassiness, bloating, and all manner of gastrointestinal discomfort without evidence of, you know, something heavy duty like ulcerative colitis. So there, what happens is there's probably some microscopic inflammation of the gastrointestinal wall. And that renders it more susceptible to the effects of foods and the effects of certain previously normal bacteria. Another example of this is, say a fireman goes into a burning building and inhales smoke, and he's fine before he enters the building, but afterwards he suddenly becomes very sensitive to perfumes and the smells of chemicals. The lungs are irritated, and even in the aftermath of the exposure, they may remain irritated for a long time or forever. It sets up a vicious cycle of inflammation and sort of a inflammatory cascade that can persist for a long time. So the way to treat it, and I've seen a lot of patients with this, is change the diet. Eliminate any foods that are potential allergens. We often put patients on either a FODMAP diet, which is helpful for irritable bowel syndrome. You can look it up. It's FODMAP. And it eliminates some of the foods which characteristically worsen IBS or promote small intestine bacterial overgrowth. That's another thing that we sometimes look into, because having an infection, and sometimes the aftermath of an infection is after taking antibiotics, you develop an imbalance. Certain bad bacteria proliferate and the good bacteria are suppressed. And so you want to alter that balance. You can use the FODMAP diet to do that. We're going to be talking in the next month a little bit more about SIBO, because there's a SIBO summit coming up, and we're going to feature an excellent speaker as one of our podcast guests in a couple of weeks. Her name is Allison Seebecker. And so the other thing you can do is re-inoculate the intestine with good bacteria. That would be via fermented food and or probiotics. And it's different strokes for different folks. Different probiotics work differentially. Or you can use certain anti-inflammatory herbs, soothing herbs. Often we use curcumin, we'll use green tea. We'll make sure that patients take plenty of fish oil, which has an anti-inflammatory effect in the gut. And there's an entire protocol for healing patients who have post-infectious gastroenteritis. I've just mentioned some of the components, but it starts with a diet change. Another popular diet that's similar to the FODMAP diet is the SCD, the specific carbohydrate diet, which eliminates grains entirely, limits the amount of disaccharides and polysaccharides, and is not necessarily a no-carbohydrate diet, but it certainly eliminates some of the problematic, hard-to-digest carbohydrates. And those are some of the ways that we can help to normalize bowel function after an infection. But what you're describing, real common scenario, very common scenario, and it may take a long time to settle down, and without intervention via a nutritionally oriented physician, sometimes it just persists indefinitely. It's really, really tenacious. So thanks for your question. All right, come back to Harvey Weinstein's story. Is sex addiction real? I'm reading from an article here in WebMD. Is Harvey Weinstein sick, or is he merely evil? Or is it a kind of a combination of both? Sex addiction, popular theme these days, virtually unrecognized or unknown, because in the old days, if you behaved like Harvey Weinstein, you just were a lech. You weren't suffering from a medical or a psychiatric disorder. But sex addiction has been rocketing into the mainstream as a popular diagnosis, but psychiatrists don't actually recognize it. It's not in the upcoming edition of the Bible of psychiatrists, which provides them with diagnoses of mental disorders. It's called the DSM-5. But that doesn't mean that it's not a very real problem. Many people are going to seek help for sex addiction. It's a cottage industry in places like Malibu, which have a lot of recovery centers. And people go there, along with people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, to withdraw and to get intense psychotherapy to try and address the problem. Experts, some of them prefer the term hypersexual disorder. In any case, it's about people who keep engaging in sexual behaviors that are damaging to them and or to their families. And that's a classic definition of addictive behavior, because say you're a drinker, but it doesn't harm you physically, and it doesn't harm your relationships. And, you know, everybody has a person like that in their family. And, you know, maybe they're a little heavy on the drinking, you know, sports events, and they like to party. But they're okay. It's not that they can't show up for work, that they forget what they did the night before. They're not blacking out. They're not, raging at family members or engaging in destructive behaviors. Yet others, like Harvey Weinstein, damage their relationships and ultimately lose their jobs, as Harvey Weinstein has. Once the most powerful mogul in Hollywood, he got fired. So examples of sex addiction: men who spend half their income on prostitutes, office workers who surf the web for porn despite warnings that they'll get fired if they keep it up. That's a problem, because it interferes with relationships, it interferes with your job, and it may threaten your health. According to this article, frequently a crisis convinces them to seek treatment. Boy, is that the case for Harvey Weinstein, because he got away with it for decades. They may be caught in the act by a spouse, fired from their job, or arrested for soliciting sex from prostitutes. In this case, Harvey got outed by his victims, finally. The causes are unknown, but it's similar to other addictions in that it may be tied to abnormal levels of brain chemicals like dopamine or serotonin. Some people have hungry brains, and they seek stimulation constantly from either drugs or sex or whatever. Even eating disorders like anorexia are thought to be addictions to fasting or to starvation, because these behaviors actually may help to raise levels of certain brain neurotransmitters. So a lot of ways to look at this doesn't really shed light on what essentially is a moral and ethical question. Is this a disease or is this just pure evil behavior? And is Harvey Weinstein really trying to get better, or is he just doing some damage control by checking into a rehab facility, which is a popular ritual of absolution, you know, plunk down a couple $100,000 for therapy, and you get a clean bill of health, and then resume your career with, you know, a medical excuse for your previous behavior. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number, 877-726-8255, is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
This holiday season, the turkey isn't the only thing that gets stuffed. Everyone knows when we eat too much, gas and bloating are likely to follow. Even more trouble ensues when we combine too many rich foods high in fat and sugar. An antacid may bring a moment of relief, but there is a smarter idea. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Taken daily, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide optimum digestive support with enough of the good probiotic bacteria to help us digest rich holiday foods. And for sudden upper digestive distress, chew a capsule or two. The enzymes and postbiotic metabolites only found in Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a result of the 3-year fermentation process will help you feel better and improve your overall digestive health. This holiday season, discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself. You'll be glad you did. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are now available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers across the United States. Get them today.
This traffic report from the bloodstream brought to you by Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Well, that inbound blood flow is really slowing down now due to plaque from cholesterol, but help's on the way from Kyolic. More than 750 peer-reviewed research studies indicate that Kyolic not only keeps circulation moving smoothly, it also helps improve a number of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is made from 100% organically grown garlic, is completely odorless, and won't upset your stomach. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Look for Kyolic at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Help keep your system stay humming along with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, taking your phone calls, and our number 877-726-TALK, and we got Janet from Sterling, New Jersey. How are you?
Very good, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you so much for being there for us as usual.
My pleasure.
It finally caught up with me. Heart doctor wants me to go on Crestor because my total cholesterol is 292. Mm-hmm. And what's been happening is the LDLs used to be low, but they actually now are actually 140. Mm-hmm. My HDL is 141.
Whoa. Say that again. Your HDL cholesterol is 141?
Yes.
Boy, that's like Guinness Book of World Records.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm a little
Because I was almost ready to say you must have a very high HDL, because with such a high cholesterol, almost 300, your LDL is you know, 140. So that means that a lot of the cholesterol is good cholesterol. Okay. In fact, you're in a situation of almost parity between your bad cholesterol and good cholesterol. That's really unusual. You know,
Your
bad cholesterol is 140 something, and your good cholesterol is 140. Okay, yep. So here's the deal. This is what you call cookie cutter medicine, is that there are guidelines that now dictate how doctors should practice medicine. Yeah, it makes it easy. You know, it's like those old paint by numbers kits that you had when you were a kid. You remember back when you could paint a masterpiece because it was color coded, and you could paint the Mona Lisa, or you could paint Van Gogh Starry Night or something, and all you had to do was, you know, it's color coded. The number corresponded to a certain color, and then, you know, you would just put the color in, and it looked like a mess at the end. It never looked like the original, no way, no how, because that's not how you create a masterpiece.
Exactly.
So you know, this is an example of cookie cutter or paint by numbers medicine. What you need to do to, because look, there is a situation. What makes this a little complicated is that there is a situation, and it's relatively uncommon, wherein some people who have very high HDL still can be at risk of cardiovascular disease. So the new think on HDL is that, yes, it's very protective, but it's not invariably protective, particularly if you have other risk factors. And, you know, I could go through all the risk factors with you. Are you overweight? Do you have a family history? Are you diabetic? Are you hypertensive? Do you have high levels of homocysteine? Or are you inflamed with a high C-reactive protein? These are also important in the ultimate equation that takes you to high risk for cardiovascular disease. But an isolated, even a high cholesterol of near 200-300, sometimes it's not associated, surprisingly, with atherosclerosis. So what you need is you need some imaging, and you should get what's called an EBT heart scan, which is a test that measures calcification in your coronary arteries. And I would bet, and maybe you can give us a follow-up if you undertake the test, that you might have zero to minimal plaque in your coronary arteries.
Well, and we went through that 2 years ago, and it was fine. It was fine.
There, boom, boom. So, okay, so what putting you on a statin drug is, you know, when you're in a car, they say put on your seatbelts. You got to put on seatbelts when you're in a car, right? But if you're in the garage and you're straightening out your glove compartment of your car, maybe you're detailing the interior of your dashboard, and the car's not moving, you don't need to put on your seatbelts. And if you have zero plaque, you have no risk for cardiovascular disease. So what's that Crestor going to do? It's going to numerically lower your cholesterol, which will do absolutely nothing because you have no cardiovascular risk. So it doesn't make any sense.
No. I have the cell. And, you know, again, you read, you know, he just said you got to face the facts. Heart disease, it kills more women than this, that, and the other thing. And I think, why would you want to take the chance? So he tried to convince me. I mean, I filled it, but now I'm looking at it for over a week, and I'm going, I really know if I want to start it.
You know, I hate to contravene medical advice because, I mean, in a way, it's, you know, it's a risky business because your doctor knows you and has prescribed a medication. But I got to say this, the doctor is merely prescribing the medication on the basis of a strong belief in the preventive and curative properties of this medication. And I believe in using statins under certain circumstances. I've told several patients over the past few weeks that they better stick to their statins because they have demonstrable heart disease, very high plaque scores, or they have stents, or they've had bypass surgery. So they got to lock and load and stay on the statins. You know, I get some flack from my holistic colleagues because they don't believe in medications under any circumstances. But you got to use these medications judiciously. Unfortunately, not enough people who should be taking them are on them, and too many people who shouldn't be are being urged to take them to their detriment. So that's a problem. But, you know, I pretty conclusively, it sounds like you're in the clear. You're in the clear. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. So this item is important because this is the first study that looked at the effects of a very small amount of high-intensity, regular physical exercise on bone health in women. And the conclusions are amazing. They did this study in England, and what they found is that brief bursts of high-intensity physical activity can actually help with bone health. Now, how brief? Accumulating just 1 to 2 minutes or greater than 2 minutes per day of a high-intensity physical activity. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean vacuuming? No. Equivalent to running in premenopausal women and slow jogging in postmenopausal women is associated with better bone health. So the implication is you do not have to run a marathon to get the benefits. You don't have to lift massive weights to get some benefits. It's an illustration of what can be termed the 80-20 principle in medicine and health, which is that sometimes 20% of the effort garners you 80% of the benefit. More physical exercise is going to help your bones even more. But according to the study, just a brief bout of running around 2 minutes per day, or if you can't run, slow jogging, if you're a postmenopausal woman in your 60s or 70s, That is associated with better bone health. Not only that, other ancillary benefits, cardiovascular benefits, anti-obesity benefits, anti-diabetic benefits, stroke prevention, and cancer benefits as well. On and on it goes. Run for the cure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-TALK is our number. We got time for many of your calls next hour.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.